Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, Simon Miller from What Culture here, and I just have to do a little bit of housekeeping because throughout this episode of SmackDown Ups and Downs, you may hear some weird noises. That is because I am on foreign ground right now, and I think aliens may be attacking, but I do apologize. But otherwise, if you did indeed tune into this WWE Friday Night Extravaganza, you would have noticed a couple of things. One, we were calling the WWE Universe fans, and we were calling the product we were seeing in the ring wrestling. And for a while, I was kind of like this, because where is the branding gone? And of course, we know the answer, but still, if you were like me, you would have been sat there all bug-eyed, because the future is now. Or something. Otherwise, yes, thank you very much for joining me. As always, we have just had an episode of SmackDown, which also just happened to be the go-home show for SmackDown. No, for SmackDown, for SummerSlam, the premium live event. But was it any good, or did it suck? Let's up those doubts. As ever, we don't know how much of this show was written by Vince McMahon. Maybe it was written by Triple H, maybe it was written by Kevin Dunn, maybe it was written by Bruce Pritchard, maybe it was written by Kermit the Frog. All I do know is that we got the intro, are you ready, and all of that kind of stuff, and we began with Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. It went 25 minutes. It was absolutely badass. It was also a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, which is just the best and most stupid name for a match I've ever heard in my life. And the fans stayed with this for the entire time. As already mentioned, commentary seemed far more free. And Sheamus beat Drew McIntyre up during his entrance, so we just got the go cannon and we fired a trigger. The winner was also going to go on to WWE Clash at the Castle to face whoever the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion may be, so we had stakes as well. And apparently, when you have a good old Donnybrook, you also have to have a bar that reminds you that Sheamus has some relatives. I don't know, you tell me. They really did go into this as well, because we were using kegs, we were using tables, we were using chairs, and not only were we using shillelaghs, but Sheamus was using the shillelagh that Drew McIntyre had chopped up last week, because I must have missed this, sometimes things go over my bald head. Apparently, this is a family heirloom. Can you believe that? Oh man, you must take the family shillelagh and protect it with all your powers. And then Sheamus had it broken in about 5 minutes. So much was happening here, and given that it was a no disqualification, you knew that some shenanigans were going to go down. So of course, Ridge Holland came out, and at one point, he was just beating the crap out of Drew McIntyre. It did lead to a really good near fall, because Sheamus was then able to hit him with the traditional shillelagh, whatever the hell we're calling it. But then Drew got back up, and he threw Ridge through a table. Butch didn't learn from this at all, though, because then he transported into the ring, and he was, like, jumping all over Drew. And this ended with a white noise off the top rope, and I tell you, even though I was 99.9% convinced that Drew McIntyre was going to win, the referee went one, the referee went two, Drew kicked out, and I bit just a little bit. I was then dying because Butch found this massive shillelagh, and I was like, how many shillelaghs are there in this match? But this once again led to such a good near fall, because McIntyre had to go deal with Scrappy Doo, so Sheamus came flying in with the bro kick, but once again, Drew kicked out at two. This rocked. You could tell that McIntyre was about to make his big comeback too, which he did. He then threw the Irishman through a table. He hit him with the claymore, as Sheamus was on his knees, so it looked twice as devastating. He got the victory, and now, yeah, he is the number one contender. He weren't done though, because McIntyre got on the microphone afterwards and he was all like, oh man, somebody's got to take that title off the part-timer. And I think he was talking about Roman. When Theory was here, and he beat up Drew McIntyre. And I was like, okay, somebody add that to the list. Theory officially feuding with someone else. I do like that though. I do not know why, but it is now Theory against anybody else or everybody else. And I still want everybody else to win. There's something to it. Chaos was clearly the name on this night though, because then we cut to Pat McAfee and Michael Cole, who were going to run down the WWE SummerSlam card, when Happy Corbin turned up and was all like, you can't touch me, I've bought a ticket. It led to this big old argument between Pat McAfee and Corbin for obvious reasons, as Michael Cole was trying to explain to Pat, look, you can't attack him, this is how ticketing works. And then they did go back into their show plan, I suppose, but Corbin kept shouting insults. I don't know why this was so funny, but it's pretty funny. McAfee got so wound up, he even dropped the line, I know that new people are in charge, but this is ridiculous. And when it did seem like they were going to get into a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, out came Adam Pearce and the officials to separate them. But that damn Happy saw his opportunity, and he smacked Pat McAfee right in the balls. Of course, when Pat's penis was better, he was able to go back on commentary. As all like, oh man, I'm going to beat that Happy Corbin up at SummerSlam. And I'm very excited about this match. It's all been nice and simple, but it's all clicked together and it's worked a treat up. We had an interview with Theory after this, who actually justified his beatdown of Drew McIntyre earlier, because he was like, well, look, I'm going to be the new WWE Unified Champion at SummerSlam because I'm cashing in my briefcase. So if he's going to be the guy I'm challenging at Clash of the Castle, I may as well have got a shot in. Hot damn, that makes sense. This is when Paul Heyman walked into frame, put his arm around Theory, and they walked off together talking. So I was like, oh, I wonder what's happening there. And then it was Shotzi versus Aaliyah. Now this was justified because a few weeks ago they were trapping the other one in the locker room, and when you do that you have to have a fight at some point. Plus we were told the reason that Lacey Evans isn't here this evening is because she's not medically cleared. Mostly though, it was just nice to see two young and up-and-comers actually get to share the spotlight. And yes, was this as smooth as my bald head? No, it wasn't. And was there a few miscommunication spots? Of course there was. However, I just want to say this. Unless you've been at work and you've never made a mistake and you've never dropped the ball and every single thing you've done is absolutely perfect, maybe just give it a minute and say, well, I'm sure they'll get better. Also, there were some really good moments here. I mean, Aaliyah hit this good flying clothesline, and my main takeaway was, look, she just actually needs more time on SmackDown, because ever since she's got called up, she's barely had any matches. And when we got to the finish, Shotzi hit that move of hers. It's like called Sleep Time 9000. It's not called that, but it is absolutely devastating. It got the win, and there was something about this that I just liked. I was like, let's push Aaliyah, and let's definitely push Shotzi, because she's different. And different is good. Up. We then saw Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey in the back taking pictures, because they're both baby faces. When Natalya and Sonya Deville walked up to them, and I'm sorry, Natty must have been smoking crack or something. She was like, it's quite clear, I should be challenging for the SmackDown Women's Champion. I was like, nah, how? As it turned out, Shotzi had been watching all this from the ring, so she grabbed a microphone and just went, ha 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 ha, like she was a supervillain. But then Ronda Rousey walked into the ring, and she killed her. She then got on a microphone and said she just wanted to fight everybody, and she took out a heckler too in the crowd, so Ronda was on fire. And amazingly, this was actually building to Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan taking on Sonya Deville and Natalya. So if you went really quiet somewhere in the distance, you could hear Terry Long going, player, player. Now, of course, because Ronda and Liv were on the same team, WWE had to ask the question, oh my gosh, how are they going to be able to coexist? And as ever, I was like, well, I can tell you how I know they're going to coexist, because I can see Liv Morgan and I can see Ronda Rousey stood next to her, so they are coexistence. And nobody has been swallowed up by a black hole. The real question was whether they were going to get on or not. And the answer was no. I mean, they wouldn't tag each other in. They kept looking at each other. They kept getting into arguments. And the story here is that Liv Morgan wanted to prove to Ronda Rousey, I can get this done. Even though there's two WWE superstars from across the ring, I believe I can get the pinfall. So any time she had the opportunity to tag out, she did not. The commentary team also made sure to tell us, what is Morgan doing? Why isn't she tagging in Ronda Rousey? So in many ways, Liv kind of came across like a bad guy here, but that's okay, because sometimes you do need shades of grey. Ronda eventually realised, well, I'm going to have to tag myself in if I want to get the job done, which she did do, and this basically ended when Liv Morgan hit the Oblivion and Ronda Rousey had the ankle lock, so essentially they kind of both won, although technically Ronda Rousey got the submission win. What I did like about this, though, is that Sonya Deville and Natalya aren't no sort of proper tag team, they're just a random pairing, so it didn't matter that Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan beat them, even though they're at loggerheads. And once again, it made me go, well, I have no idea what they're going to do at SummerSlam. Maybe I should tune in, giving it up. We were then told, I think, that Jeff Jarrett was going to come out to tell the Street Profits and the Usos the rules for their match at the Premium Live event.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Actually, this was pretty good. Poor Jeff did get watted a little bit, but that's always going to happen. But when Jimmy and Jay and Montez and Angelo took over, this became pure fire, because the Usos are like, hey, Jeff, is it going to be a disqualification if we break Montez Ford's nose again? Which they did do on Raw. So Angelo Dawkins was like, hey, Jarrett, is it going to be a DQ if we beat Jimmy so bad that his face paint comes back? Boy, that was a good line. Jimmy Jarrett couldn't be bothered with any of this because he started to stoke them all up when accidentally he got super kicked in the face as both teams looked at each other like, uh-oh, what have we done? Also, fair play to J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T. He sold that like it had been shot. It was wonderful. And they all bailed out to the ring. Montez Ford did one of his fantastic dives. So they had done it again. Look, I've always thought this match was going to be good because they don't have bad matches. But this just felt like you added a little something into there. So now I'm twice excited. So we got to do it again. Up. It's also convinced me that something is going to happen on Saturday night. What that is, I don't know, but look at my face, I'm serious. Something is definitely going on with the Maximum Male models as well, because we did get their beachwear collection, although we kind of zoomed through it with a backstage skit, although it was still ridiculously stupid, so I loved it. And Maxine Dupri was here, but at the end of it, Max Dupri flew back in, and he was like, oh, we're still looking for new models. So I suppose that's back on the table. And we can make this work too. I wouldn't get rid of this at all. I mean, look at someone like Rick the Model Martel. That guy was a fantastic heel. You just have to find the right balance between goofiness and seriousness. And as I have said 1,000 times, that is my favorite takeaway from wrestling. So again, I'm pumped for this. We shall see. Throughout all of this, the New Day and the Viking Raiders, they are no longer new and vicious, made their way to the ring. I'm just going to tell you this one straight. There's no wibbly wobbly here. They had a great match. The main reason was that Eric and Ivar were allowed to be the old Viking Raiders, which is actually kind of ironic. And we all know the deal with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. They could be in there with a broom and they'd have a good match. Given the finish of this, well, my eyebrow has gone up. Kofi was being beaten up for a while, including Ivar slamming him into Barry Barricade and then just flattening him like a pancake. But of course we did this so we could build to the hot tag to Xavier Woods, who got in there and started throwing bones. He also hit a side Russian leg sweep and I was like, damn it, we need more of those, as well as a double axe handle off the top, which we also don't. And then he hit a tornado DDT for a near fall. Kingston was then back in and he was trying to win using the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, because he knows. But that didn't work because he got smacked so hard in the face, I thought he was dead. When the Viking Raiders picked him up, they hit the double powerbomb and they beat him clean as a whistle. I mean, honestly, this was my face. I was like, there's no shenanigans. It got even better too, because Kingston had been slaughtered. The Viking Raiders were like, we shall finish him off with our shield. But because Xavier Woods is his best friend, he got in there. He tried to defend his buddy. Instead, he got smacked with this weaponry. And then his foot or his leg, whatever you want to call it, got Pillmanized, meaning the Viking Raiders walked off being all like, ha 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 ha, we have done it. sound like Sagat. So what a well put together story this was. In around about 5 minutes, I'm like, oh man, these Raiders, they're a badass tag team, and the New Day can get away with everything because they're so damn entertaining. Look how excited I'm getting. Please let this carry on up. As you can imagine, it was then time for our last segment on SmackDown, because that opening match had taken up a quarter of the show. But it was Paul Heyman, so let's just get on with it. Because he went into his usual shtick that he's so good at, but he also said two very interesting things. One, he would not let Brock Lesnar ruin Roman Reigns' up-and-coming 700-day celebration as the champion, and it would be over his dead body. And also, two, once the head of the table is done with Brock, we will never see him again. And I tell you, I can kind of see it, because let's not forget that Brock Lesnar was very much a Vince McMahon guy, and Vince McMahon was very much a Brock Lesnar guy. So maybe Brock is happy to do the favors at SummerSlam, and then ride off into the sunset. And hopefully he has no horse, because he'd look really weird. Alternatively, he did say that because a big surprise was coming, because Brock's flipping music hit, the crowd went crazy, he came to the ring, and as always, just a round of applause for Paul Heyman, because he tried to give him the microphone like, you're clearly not here to beat me up, why don't you talk? That was not the case at all, and just as Lesnar was about to eat him alive, Theory appeared again. He started hitting Brock Lesnar with the briefcase, but honestly, it was like kissing him. It did absolutely nothing. Brock turned around, he beat up Theory, chucked him to the outside when Drew McIntyre was back. He got his revenge, he claymore kicked Theory, and then take that stupid idea I had a few seconds ago and throw it out the window, because Drew and Brock looked at each other and I was like, oh man, let us do that match again. Maybe even at the Royal Rumble or the Survivor Series or something, because last time they had their feud, they had to do it to silence. It was right in the middle of the pandemic. So when SmackDown did go off air, I was super duper pumped, and like I say, really looking forward to the future. Like, it wasn't a perfect show. There's still things we can do. I always say that because, oh, there's no downs. But basically, every single segment WWE had on this show, they made work in some fashion, including this one. We also have to discuss how that translates to finishes. We talked about this on Raw Ups and Downs, that now we're going to do percentages. And on this episode of SmackDown, there was four matches, and none of them ended with silliness. So we bring down the shenanigans slider, and it's 0%. That's right. If you weren't sure whether you were going to watch this SmackDown or not, there is 0% of shenanigans. Because we didn't have any. But I think we should be excited about that, because look, I'm fine with the DQ, I'm fine with the countout, I'm fine with the distraction, but you've got to use them sparingly, otherwise they get really boring. So imagine I gave this SmackDown a down. Of course I'm not going to do that. I thought it did a great job in building SummerSlam, and it's getting it up. Now please do leave a comment below and let us know what you thought about last night's episode of SmackDown. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Head over to whatculture.com where you can read yourself some articles. Make sure you come follow us on social media, and we do have other videos. Please watch. My name is Simon for What Culture. Thank you for watching me as always. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.